The Holy Ghost, amen. The topic of today's gospel is obviously the virtue of faith. For St. Thomas does not believe his fellow apostles concerning the resurrection of our Lord, but is faithless until he is shown the very wounds in our Lord's side. Faith is the assent to truths which are not seen, but which are believed based on the authority of God. So in the Holy Eucharist, we see the reality of the real presence, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, not with our eyes, but with the light of faith. That is, because God said that this change takes place. There is nothing for our eyes to see. It is seen entirely with the light of faith. And we thus bow down before our God in the Holy Eucharist based on this faith, this belief that is in turn based on the authority of God. The virtue of faith is the basis of the supernatural order in the soul. We are not called to merely being good naturally and to have purely natural virtues. We are called to be supernaturally good. And the way in which we attain eternal salvation is by the practice of the supernatural virtue of charity and its adjacent virtues. Which charity and which adjacent virtues are impossible without the virtue of faith? God must be known by the faith and not merely by reason, but by supernatural faith in order that we please Him. Therefore, St. Paul said, without faith it is impossible to please God. All of our activities must be, therefore, ordered by the faith. Faith provides the vision of the supernatural goal which is before men, which is eternal salvation, union with God forever in heaven. Because that is the goal held out to man, the actions of men must proceed toward that goal. Just as your feet must, when you're walking, proceed toward the destination that is before you. And if they cease to seek that destination, they swerve. They make a mistake. The same thing in steering a car. You must steer your car toward the destination. So also the faith dictates to the will what the correct actions will be in order to attain the goal of eternal life. Since eternal salvation is the ultimate goal of man, then his every action must come under the scrutiny of this goal. His every action must be measured as good or bad, depending on how it pertains to this goal. And since faith is what perceives the goal, it is the faith which must scrutinize every action of man. And this is the spirit of faith, which is this scrutiny that the faith places upon every human act. The spirit of faith is to see all things in the light of the faith, to judge the value of all things in the light of the faith, and to order all things in the light of the faith. It is opposed to the spirit of the world, which is to see things, to value things, and to order things in the light, if we may use that word, of the naturalistic goals of man. The goals of man that are set up for him by the devil through original sin and actual sin. The goals of lust, the goals of pride, the goals of avarice, the three sources of temptation mentioned by St. John the Evangelist. The very three things which make up the city of man, of which the devil is the prince. Examples of the opposition of the spirit of faith and the spirit of the world are the following. The choice of a school. The spirit of the world says, I want my child to have worldly enjoyment and worldly progress, success. The spirit of the faith says, I want my child to be preserved from the world and to be educated in the faith. The spirit of the faith would go so far as to say, it would be better that my child would starve to death from poverty or would sell pencils in the street and would not be able to read than that he be corrupted from his faith and have all of the money and comforts and honors of men in the world. Now, there is not a dichotomy between being learned and having the faith. In fact, it is the Catholic Church that has given all of the great learning that the Western world boasts of to the world. It is the Catholic Church that produced a St. Thomas Aquinas and many other great and renowned men of learning. But in this situation in which we are today, in which schools are putrefied with filth and ideas contrary to the faith, it is shocking how Catholic parents will side with the spirit of the world and say, well, I want this for my child, I want this for my child, and this, all worldly considerations, and will actually submit them to the evil influence of the devil in those schools. Those parents who do that will go to hell. They will go to hell, for they are directly submitting their child to the influence of the devil. The choice of clothing. The spirit of the world says, I want to be attractive in the worldly sense. That is the main goal of the way I dress. The spirit of the faith says, I want to be modest. The purpose of clothing is to make human beings modest. And while being modest does not exclude being attractive, the purpose is not to attract human beings and to be a sight of lust on the street. But yet there are Catholics who go and pick out their clothes with the idea of being attractive to the world, and they wear things that make them look absolutely scandalous. TV. The spirit of the world says, there are so many good things on TV. The spirit of the faith says, TV is a danger to faith and morals. Throw a brick through it. Get rid of it. It is better to go to heaven with your eye plucked out than it is to go whole to hell. It is better to go maimed to heaven than whole to hell, our blessed Lord said. And if that is true, wouldn't it be better to go to heaven without a TV set than to go to hell with one? Isn't that the spirit of the faith? Friends. The spirit of the world chooses friends for similarity in worldly interests. The spirit of the faith chooses friends for similarity of faith and rejects friends for lack of similarity of faith. For the faith is the supreme bond upon which all other bonds are based. And if the bond of faith is not there, how can there be any kind of serious relationship based on the fact that people share worldly interests when there is this opposition on the level of the faith? Some people go so far as to marry people who don't have the faith. Not only be friends with them, but to marry them, to live with them for the rest of their lives. This is mind-boggling how this can happen, how a Catholic could pick out somebody who does not have the faith in order to spend the rest of their lives. Rock music. The world thinks it's wonderful. The spirit of the world takes the records and the discs and smashes them because they are of the devil. Entertainment. The spirit of the world loves entertainment which extols human vice, such as lust in dirty movies and anger and other forms of vice in what is known as slice and dice movies, where human beings are seen to act like animals and where this is extolled, or in certain cases where there is not visible dirt in the movie, but where the vices of the heroes are condoned by the plot, and where people get the impression that it is all right to be an adulterer or to be a fornicator or some other kind of evil thing. The spirit of the world says, oh, these things will not bother me. I'm above being tried by lust, and these things don't bother me. I am so sophisticated that I can sit through one of these movies and not be bothered. You are a fool if you say that. You are a fool. You are under the influence of the devil if you think that. You are full of pride if you say that to yourself. And there are many Catholics who say that. You're a fool if you say that. And if you sit in front of those disgusting movies. The spirit of the faith, on the other hand, in entertainment, extols those things which seeks those things which extol human virtues, especially the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. But at least natural virtues, at least those. The beach. The spirit of the world says, we have to go swimming. We can't be deprived of our swimming. The spirit of faith says, we will not go swimming at the expense of our immortal souls. And Catholics, imbued with the spirit of the world, will go to beaches where people are practically naked and think nothing of it. And they themselves will dress in an absolutely scandalous manner and think nothing of it and be at the communion rail on Sunday. With regard to non-marriages, the phony marriages that we have today, the spirit of the world says, we have to keep the family together. And the spirit of the faith says, the bonds of the family do not take precedence over the law of God. For the bonds of the family are bonds of flesh, and the bonds of the faith are bonds of the spirit and the bonds of God. And it is the bond of faith and the law of God which must prevail. And if someone should publicly defy the law of God in the family, then he is no longer a member of the family. That is the spirit of the faith. The spirit of the world has completely overtaken our culture and our society. Heresy. The spirit of the world permits heresy, even to the point of permitting Satanism. It is legal to be a Satanist, to worship the devil in our society. The spirit of faith would outlaw such things. King Philip IV of France burned the Knights Templar for worshiping the devil. Pornography. The spirit of the world permits it in society. It would be outlawed by the faith. Abortion is permitted. The faith would outlaw it. Unnatural vice among males and females, permitted by the world, outlawed by the faith. Adultery, permitted by the world, outlawed by the faith. St. Pius V made for the crime of adultery, as a punishment, public burning. If you were caught in adultery, if you were publicly an adulterer, you would be subject to public burning. That was at least his intention. And for unnatural vice, also, the punishment was public burning. Evil entertainment. The world permits it. The faith would condemn it and outlaw it. What do you think those Catholic kings in the Middle Ages, such as St. Louis or many other Catholic kings, would have done with TV stations that put on the air the type of thing that you could go home right now and see? What they would do is they would go to the TV station and burn it down. No questions asked. They probably would not even concern themselves if the people were in it, because they too would deserve to die for the type of wickedness that they put out for people to take in. So our world is completely under the control of the devil and the spirit of the world. And I must warn you as Catholics to be on guard against that. We do not live in an ordered society or an ordered culture. Rather, we live in a gravely perverted and disordered culture and society. Just like the devil, where everything he thinks is evil, and every intention that he has is evil, he cannot think a good thing. So our society, which is stamped by the devil and which is under the control of the devil, cannot come up with a good inclination. Every inclination that it has is towards some evil. And while this may seem to be an extreme thing to say, it is nevertheless true and is borne out by daily facts which are available to you in the newspaper and in other sources of information. Day by day, this world, which is attached to the spirit of the world, sinks more into its sins and thinks up more ways in which to be sinful and to detach itself ever more from what is the last remnant of the law of God in it. And you, as Catholics, cannot take the standards of this society and this wicked, perverted culture as your standard of life and what you value. You cannot go into a department store, for example, and see all the filthy kind of women's clothing on the rack and say, oh, well, this is all there is, I'll put it on. I don't care if you have to wear a barrel. You cannot wear filthy clothing. That is the spirit of the faith. We must die before we would accept to commit a mortal sin. We must die. And every time we go into the confessional, we must have that attitude in our heart that we would die before we would commit a mortal sin. And we cannot say, because it is so difficult to live in this world, or all of our friends are doing it, or this is the standard fare of entertainment because it's on the TV, that therefore we can accept it. No, if you accept the standards of the world, you will go to hell. And there's many a Catholic who knows his catechism and accepts the truth of the faith, but at the same time is so imbued with the spirit of the world that he is going to go to hell. Many a Catholic who is resisting the changes and who is steadfast, he's going to go to hell because he cannot detach himself from the spirit of the world. And if you go to hell, what difference does it make? You'll be down there with all of the modernists and everybody else who has perverted the church and society and everything else which is good and holy in this life. And what will all of your resistance to the faith mean? Nothing, if you go to hell because you love the world. And I warn you to reject the spirit of the world. The way you will understand what the spirit of God is, what the spirit of the faith is by listening to true Catholic priests in these times. There is no other source of it. Yes, you can go to books from the old days, and I recommend that you do so. But as far as the here and now application of the law of God to the problems that come up in this time, such as TV and movies and the beach and other things, the only source of your spirit of the faith will be the advice of good and true Catholic priests. Listen to them. They are sent to you by God. They are showing you the path of salvation. Do not resist them for the sake of loving the world. They have no interest in giving you anything but the truth and showing you how to get to heaven. And no matter how difficult their advice may seem in these times, in this world which is breathing the spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil, no matter how difficult the advice may seem, follow it because it is the spirit of the faith. St. John says in the epistle of today's Mass, "And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.